Okay, it's now my time, my pleasure to introduce to you our special guest. She is a Dutch-American. She is a biblical archaeologist. She's an author. She's written several books. She's also a speaker. She's written children books. And some call her as Lady Indiana Jones. Ladies and gentlemen of church, please welcome Jennifer Guetta.
Hello.
That should be on. Why don't you share your story a little bit, Jennifer?
Yeah.
Yes. Oops.
Thank you.
Should I press something? Okay. All right.
Good morning. It is such a pleasure to be here. It is really amazing, especially I get to speak to you this morning in English, which it's when you've been traveling around Holland doing everything in Dutch, and English is my native language, so it's much easier for me. Yes.
Sorry.
This morning, I'm here to tell you a little bit about our testimony. And this is a testimony wherein you will really see where God is alive today. And Jesus is so alive, going all over the world right now, saving people. Me and my husband are the example of this. Before I start, though, I want to just mention one scripture which the Lord put on my heart for here. And it's 1 Thessalonians 1:5. I'll just wait a minute. For our gospel, are you the? Oh, wait a few moments. Okay. Our gospel came not only unto you in word only, but also in the power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you. This is kind of what we experienced. It didn't come to me by word. It came to me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm a biblical archaeologist, and I studied theology and archaeology for at least 10, 20 years. I studied at Leiden University, and I worked in many of the most beautiful places you can actually imagine in Israel. My home place was Megiddo. Megiddo in the Bible is known as Armageddon. Har Megiddo is the word for Armageddon. I worked there for the most famous archaeologist in Israel. I was one of the supervisors of his excavation. You might have heard of him. His name is Israel Finkelstein. And he is a man who wrote a book that is called The Bible Unearthed. Basically, he's trying to show that the Bible is not the Word of God. And I helped him. I worked many years for him trying to prove his theories. He's at the moment the most controversial archaeologist in the world. I spent many years working at Megiddo, and it was some of the most beautiful time in my life, because here you see, you know, what it looks like, Valley of Armageddon in North Israel. It is absolutely amazing. We uncovered there 32 cities on top of each other, many from the biblical time period. And later, after the service, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the details of everything. Now, I studied a lot in theology also. I studied many things, but now I'm standing here in front of you, and I'm telling you Jesus is alive, and the Bible is the literal Word of God.
Amen.
So what makes an archaeologist change? And there's another thing. My husband is Israeli. We're Jewish. And we have had thousands of, not thousands, that's hundreds, I can't even keep track, of dreams. He's actually even dreamed about Jesus 3 times. We've experienced the real thing, the real living God, because there's only one way where you get an archaeologist to really wake up and just a supernatural experience with God himself. This all started, for me, it started only 5 years ago. At that point, I had written great children's books. They were books about also showing the history of Israel. I believed in Israel and in the God of Israel, but I didn't really believe, didn't have a relationship. I definitely didn't believe in Jesus. But on September 11, 2012, we met a person at a lecture I was giving, and that person said she held the secrets. She was into Kabbalah, and she held secrets of God and of all kinds of mysticism. And we were so excited because she was the great-granddaughter of a rabbi that my husband knew, and we invited her into our house. And she came in, and the moment she stepped in our house, she said, "Do I have permission to be here?" And we didn't believe in evil, you see. Most scientists don't believe in the spiritual world. They only believe in the physical world. And we definitely, today, are not allowed even to say evil exists. It's, you know, that's definitely not being politically correct in the Western world. But it's very real, only we didn't know it. She stepped into my house and she said, "Evil doesn't exist, only negativity." When she came for one day, and she ended up staying 3 months. In the end, we found out later that she was a top-class witch who was very much into witchcraft and into the highest level of, you could probably say, occult, because Kabbalah is basically the origin of a lot of the occult at the moment. But it's for high-class people because it's not highly educated people, and for many of the Jews who go for this. And after 3 months, we got her out of the house, and it took a lot of time, but I'm going to tell the whole story a little bit later. One of the things that happened is my sister in America, who is a Christian, she had a dream about us. And in the dream, she said, "Jennifer, they are not who they say they are. Get them out of the house." And she even mentioned their names. And she says, "This has something to do with Jesus." And I started laughing at her. I never believed that Jesus was real. But when that person was finally out of my house, my husband and I were confronted by a spiritual world that was very, very real. And it took months. And we basically went through 3 to 4 months of living hell on earth. I'm not going to talk about the details all here, but I will share a little bit later in small groups, I will tell. But when an archaeologist is confronted by the spiritual world, by things we don't see, you have to admit there's more out there. Nothing you can do about it. And after 4 months, we started trying everything we could to get rid of them. We knew there was more going on. Evil was real. That was a big shock for a Western scientist. And now we started trying everything to get rid of them. I mean, we tried every new age thing you could possibly imagine. We tried all the smells. We went to the rabbis. That's the first thing, of course, you do. We tried all the Jewish prayers. We tried everything we could think of, and nothing helped. Until one day, somebody said to us, "You need to cast these are demons, you need to cast them out in the name of Jesus." And on the 5th of May, 2013, my husband and I did a whole thing, and we actually cast them out, and we said, "And we do this in the name of the God of Israel and in the name of Jesus," because we thought, just in case. And you know what? It worked. And we were amazed. We were like, why, Jesus? Why? How is that possible? They're listening. Shortly afterwards, great miracles started happening. And we started getting dreams, many dreams, about Yeshua himself. And he showed himself. And one day, the Bible even started coming to life. And I was sitting outside, and I felt his presence nearby. And I opened the Bible, the wind took the Bible, and it said just two words to me. It said, follow me. I did not know that that's the thing he says to everybody. I had no idea who said that. The next week, it happened again and again. Everywhere I went, it was follow me, follow me. I had to follow him. We had so many miracles that all we can do is just praise the Lord. But it was really hard for an archaeologist to understand. Here you see me in 1994. That was a long time ago when I was still on Megiddo. But here we are. I got all the theology. I got everything. But it was God himself that showed himself to us through a direct confrontation with the spiritual world. And God is so real. Jesus is so alive right now out there, just helping people, we just want to really encourage everybody, especially the church today, which has gone through so much. Because one of the things that happened to us is we woke up and we looked around and we thought, what's happened? Jesus is the Messiah? What? How can he be the Messiah? He's alive today. What's happened in 2,000 years of history? Why is the world not believing in him? Why are people not seeing him? Why are they afraid to stand up for him? It's time to take back his history. It is time to stand up for him and restore what and give him the glory.
Amen.
Amen. I can talk about the details of this testimony for a long time. And there's many more things. And after the service, I plan to talk a little bit more about everything. But right now, you know, the time is a little short. But the Lord has called us. See, we came out of that darkness, and immediately the Lord called us to speak for him. He told us to go plant hope in the hearts of men, because it is hope the world needs right now. Everywhere, all over the world, people need his hope. And part of that planting hope, it's for all generations. And one of the things that the Lord has really showed me as an archaeologist to do is to also bring in for the next generation a new inspiration so that they will really understand that the Bible is real, that the stories will come to life for them.
Yeah. Thanks, Jennifer. But having said that, there's a link to you and this church.
Yes.
About a program that you're going to do. You want to share a little bit about the program and why you're here?
Come up to? Come.
Yes, the film
star. Yay! Great. Okay. Well, thanks to these guys, I'm here because I've been working on kids' books and bringing the Bible to life, showing Israel, bringing all those stories in Israel to the kids in Holland. And God is so real. The same God of the Bible, he is the God that is alive today, that is still speaking to you. He's the God of every child. They should know that he is alive. And so we're starting a program called The Diamond. And the diamond is actually the facet of the Lord Yeshua, and every part of him is him. He is the diamond himself, where you cut off and you learn every time different things about him, different facets. And we're going to go to Israel with the children themselves, right? You're going to go to Israel. And what are we going to do there? How do you feel about that?
Find stuff.
What do you think?
think is exciting?
To go to places from the Bible.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. For example, two examples of the things we were really excited to do is, one, we want to go to the valley where David killed Goliath. It's called the Valley of Elah. It's in the southern Israel, but in Judah. And you can go there. And there is a brook. And there are stones you can find, if you can still find them, because I do hear tourists take them. And we want to go there to show the children how real the story was. Everything really happened. So how would you feel if you were... What other story do you think would be amazing in Israel to see?
Jesus on the cross.
Okay, yeah. Jesus on the cross. This means we can go to Jerusalem. We can actually follow in the footsteps that the Lord took. Go to the garden tomb with the children. And it's an experience they will never forget. It goes into their minds. Another thing that we want to do, for example, in the city of David, there's tunnels between the city of David and the temple, the Wailing Wall, and they're underneath. I'm very good friends with the archaeologists there. We're going to go with the children through the tunnels and really experience what people in the Bible experienced. Right? Yes. Okay.
Thank
great.
You. Thank you. Thanks.
Anyway, we're basically starting this program. It's a program for Family 7 that we're doing, and it's going to be the erste is like 12 episodes, and we hope to film it somewhere in the fall or in the spring. We are still looking for funding for this project, and there's a fundraising page online, and after the service, if you're interested to know more about the program, there's a magazine that we will be giving out from Family 7 that you can read more about it. It was a pleasure to be here, and I hope all of you after the service will come and listen. I'll tell more of the details about the whole story that I experienced.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you very much. Thank you.